And welcome back into Inside the Number, sponsored by State Farm Insurance, State Farm Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Property, and many other products to make your life go right. Call or visit your local State Farm agent to find out how State Farm can help you. In the Birmingham, Alabama market, contact Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119. Located at 2685 Pelham Parkway, Larry and his staff are ready to serve you and your family. Contact Larry today at 205-663-3119 and get State Farm on your team. State Farm Insurance here to help life go right. Mike Bernard, of course, from OTM Sports, based out in Las Vegas, still with us here on Inside the Numbers, as he is every single week. Mike, let's stay in the SEC. Vandy. The Commodores going to play number 2 Georgia between the Hedges and Athens. This is going to be 7:30 kick on the SEC Network. Vandy, 3-2. They put a lot of eggs in that Notre Dame game, and they came up short. They really haven't been the same team since they went to South Bend. Georgia 5-0. But really, outside of the South Carolina game, they seem just to be going through the motions. As a matter of fact, they made several key mistakes in the South Carolina game, but they had teammates that picked up the slack. They, being cute, you know, they dropped an interception or a fumble pickup, a defensive touchdown. They dropped it at the goal line, which I still don't understand that crap, and it makes me crazy if I was coaching. Mm-hmm. But the ball is dropped in the field of play. Luckily for Georgia, one of their other defensive players noticed it, came and picked up the ball in the end zone for the score. But even you look back at the 38-12 win over Tennessee last week, this Georgia team, they just didn't play clean. And I'm not talking about they were dirty. I'm talking about they just not play a smooth game. They still had a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, they're not playing 100% sound football, but they're very talented. They've reloaded, and, you know, they're getting by. Look, their closest game was a 14-point win in Missouri, who I think is an underrated team. Vanderbilt, on the other hand, they trailed late in the game to Tennessee State in the fourth quarter. They had to score with about 6 minutes to go in the game to win that game. The Bulldogs, as I said, they've won every game by 2 touchdowns or more. They outclassed this Vandy team. They're favored by anywhere from 26 to 27 points. Possible concern for Dog fans, could they be looking ahead to a really tough 4-game stretch of at LSU, Florida, at Kentucky, and then Auburn?
They may. And one thing about this Vandy team, they had to experience something last Saturday against Tennessee State that either may help them emotionally or it may drain them emotionally. And a lot of people don't know about this, although we did post the article on our website. Christian Abercrombie, a linebacker for Tennessee State, Atlanta native who went to Illinois and transferred to Tennessee State, he suffered a severe brain injury versus Vanderbilt, collapsed on the sideline, had to be taken directly to Vanderbilt University Medical Center and rushed into surgery. Thankfully, he is making progress each and every day, and hopefully he's on the road to a full recovery. But I don't care if you're a player or a coach. I've had to experience something similar to this before, Mike. It messes with your psyche. And, again, it can swing the pendulum one or two ways, and we'll have to see how that plays out with Vandy. But regardless, Vandy is going into Athens, and they're undermanned compared to the Bulldogs.
Yeah, they really are. And in recent history shows – that even though Georgia has better talent, Vandy plays Georgia closer than odds makers expect. Georgia throttled Vanderbilt last year 45-14, but the previous 4 meetings, the Doors covered 4 in a row over Georgia, and they won 2 of those outright. So this year, I can see Vandy keeping it under the number, but there's too much talent disparity, in my opinion, to win the game outright.
All right, there was a guy that told me yesterday at lunch that Kentucky was going to lose this weekend, and he guaranteed it. And I said, well, how can you guarantee that? He said, because they're ranked number 13th. And I was like, well, wait a second. Now, you know, I know some people think 13's lucky, but that's just superstition. He said, oh, no. He said, 2 weeks ago, when Mississippi State went to Lexington, they were ranked number 13. And so they're going to, you know, and they lost. So Kentucky is going to lose at number 13. And what does that have to do with this game, number 8, Auburn at Mississippi State? It's because Mississippi State's unranked right now. But I want people to remember, just a couple of weeks ago, they were the number 13 team in the nation. The number 13 team in the nation. And remember, their losses are to whom? I mean, you know, their losses are to Kentucky, and their losses are to Florida. And you're looking at an Auburn team right now that's got no run game. They rushed for less than 100 yards in the last 2 weeks against Arkansas, who, as we said, is a little bit better on defense. But, you know, Southern Mississippi, you should be able to run for more than 100 yards against Southern Mississippi if you're an SEC football team. Now, Mississippi State, you know, they've also had offensive struggles, but they've only had offensive struggles against Kentucky and against Florida, who have two pretty good defenses. Right now, Jaren Stidham and Nick Fitzgerald, the spotlight is on those two guys, and their respective fan base, they expect those two guys to pull out a victory on Saturday night. But let me tell you something, it's not going to come down to those two quarterbacks. This game is going to come down to the big uglies up front on each side of the line. And in that aspect, I like Auburn's defensive line a lot better than I like Auburn's offensive line or Mississippi State's fronts on each side of the ball.
Yeah, and Coach, this game, I usually have a good feel for this game. If you recall last year, I think pretty much nailed the last four Auburn games. Once you get a feel for Auburn, you know what they're about. If there's value in the point spread, you can get some wins. This game, Coach, I still don't get it. I'm not saying I disagree with the point spread, or I'm just not there yet, because Auburn opened 4. They're now 3.5 or 4-point favorite. They're ranked number 8. Mississippi State is unranked. Both teams are playing low-scoring games. I do know that, you know, the under might be a play here, but the total is down to 44. That's extremely low for college football, so I'm not looking there. And speaking of the under, I believe it was in 2008, these teams played the mother of all unders in college football when Auburn won 3-2.
That's right. Now, I look at this game, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to call it the Devil's Triangle, because everyone knows that the Devil's Triangle, a.k.a. the Bermuda Triangle, is where things go and they just don't come out. They just disappear, no trace. Mississippi State, their Devil's Triangle, point one, Mississippi State, point two, Kentucky, point two, Florida. Yes, 3-2 record. They've lost to two good football teams. Mike, I think Auburn's going to go in the Devil's Triangle on Saturday night, and they may not come out of there unscathed. I like Mississippi State in this game.
Well, the point spread is making me believe that Mississippi State is the play. Maybe straight up, but certainly against the point spread, but I haven't gotten to the point where I can and stay with that position. But here's my take on this game. I've got many, but the one that I'll focus on is Gus Malzahn's offense is about downhill, power run game with some unconventional plays thrown in the mix. But it starts with that downhill power run game. If the run game isn't there, the other stuff doesn't work. Auburn's failed to rush for 100 yards in each of their last two games. State, they've struggled even more on offense. So the Dogs' last two games, they scored 13 points. I know it was good defenses, but they were lopsided losses.
I totally agree with you there. And even though as a unit, I love Kentucky's defense, I love Florida's defense, Auburn's front four is one of the top three in the country. I think they're going to be the difference in this game. But I think if Auburn doesn't click offensively, I think that, again, I think Mississippi State's going to come up with a win here.
Okay, and last thoughts for me. Look at the point spread. Auburn's around a 3 or 4 point favorite. They're ranked 8 or 9. Bulldogs just got wiped off the field in consecutive weeks. Okay, the point spread says a low-scoring game with State keeping it close. That's what the point spread tells me. The under is 8-1 in Auburn's last 9 games. The under is 6-1 in State's last 7 games. Auburn's defensive front won the top 3 in the game.
Okay, Mike, I want to tell you a little story last night that happened when we were doing our live show. One of the things that we do is we have a pick'em contest at the live show with the folks there in the restaurant. And, of course, all the cards are gone out. And again, college football fans, there's some that are very knowledgeable. And then there's some that would have you to want you to believe that they're knowledgeable. And this was a legitimate question that I got asked last night. And it's, of course, we're getting ready to talk about the Notre Dame game. And the guy asked, this is his legitimate question, okay, is Notre Dame is playing Vermont? They don't play a tough schedule. And we're like, huh? Oh, VT. No, that is Virginia Tech. Yes, Notre Dame is going to play the Catamounts of Vermont this week in prime time on ABC. Vermont, who hasn't had a NCAA sanctioned football program since 1976, and they're only playing club football now. But anyway, I'm not going to mention the school that this young man was had his allegiance to, but I will just tell you this much, that it wasn't orange and blue, and it wasn't orange and white, but let's just say red and pick any shade that you want, okay? And so, but anyway, yeah, so he was convinced that Notre Dame is playing Vermont. But no, you know, you may have some information on that game I don't have. I'm going to have to talk to you about number 6 Notre Dame playing number 24 Virginia Tech. Now, had Virginia Tech not slipped up at ODU, Mike, this would be a top 10 battle right now. And if the Irish, if they can get by the Hokies, you know, they're going to have to stump their own toe not to reach the playoff, because they're going to be a prohibitive favorite from here on out if they can get by the Hokies. You know, and I think Lane Stadium, though, playing there at night especially, it's underappreciated as far as the atmosphere. I mean, man, when those students start jumping up and down in those end zone bleachers and Metallica, Enter Sandman's blasting through those speakers, man, that's an electric place.
It really is, and I don't know where the guy was coming with the Vermont thing, but, you know, look, SEC fan, they think it's SEC and everyone else is nothing, but that's a whole different story. The this particular game, looking forward to it. It's worth the primetime slot. Of course, Notre Dame, they were impressive in that win over Stanford. In the Stanford game, Notre Dame opened 1.5-point favorite. They were moved to a 5-point favorite. Deja vu this week, Notre Dame in this game. They're on the road. They opened as a 1.5-point favorite. Now they're favored by 5 or 5.5. So sharps, the public, and the odds makers are having to respect the Irish.
No doubt about it. And listen, we know Justin Fuente. We know the job that he's done. We know the job he did at Memphis. And he's done a good job of bringing the fire back to this Virginia Tech program. I love the way he handled the team after the Old Dominion loss. I love that, where he challenged them and basically, you know, didn't allow them to feel sorry for themselves at that point in time. Brian Kelly, you and I have talked about him for several years now. You know, he's on the hot seat. He's gone. He's going to get fired next week. Listen, Brian Kelly, I'm going to start calling him Batman, because he's like the old Batman TV shows. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Batman. But at the end,
Adam West?
Yes, Adam West. At the end of every Batman episode, of course, it's a 30-minute television show. The first 28 minutes, you know, he's beating bad guys and all this. And then the very last minute or two of the show, he's in a predicament. And he is Batman's demise is intimate. There's no way he can get out of it. And the show ends. And then the next week, within the first minute of the show, he has escaped and he's back fighting the villains again. That's how Brian Kelly is. Every time you think he's down for the count, no, the page turns and he's back fighting.
Oh, yeah, we've had him, and again, we didn't put him there, but we've discussed him being on the hot seat for 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and he did take Notre Dame to the national title game in the 2012 season, and they played Alabama in Miami. That didn't work out too well, but that team, that 2012 team, they won with some smoke and mirrors. They had a weaker schedule than what this year's teams played. So if I had to – I've been asked this question. If I had to rank that 2012 team that got wiped off the field in Miami to this one, I would say this team, in relation to their peers, in relation to today's game, this year's team is much more solid. And as I look at my screen, Notre Dame opened 1.5. They're up to 6.5 at some casinos now.
I think the big difference in this Notre Dame team, it's not the same team that started the season against Michigan, and that's because Ian Book is now the quarterback. He took over for Brandon Winbush. Book is 52 of 70, 616 yards, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. But more importantly to me is his sack ratio. He only has 3 sacks in 70 attempts. Now, again, everybody, oh, well, that's 3 sacks. Listen, an offensive coordinator won't tell you this in public, but if he can hold his sacks down to 1 in 25 attempts, he is more than happy with that in the pass-happy college football game that we have today. He is more than happy with 1 sack in 25 attempts, and, of course, and they're right there on that pace. For Virginia Tech, Ryan Willis, he's played well as a backup because, remember, Josh Jackson broke his leg late in that ODU loss. And while Willis has played well and he's more than capable, he's just got a different skill set than Jackson. Jackson has a lot more weapons to use. So Ryan Willis is kind of more one-dimensional than Josh Jackson.
Yeah, and that's an issue. And that's probably more than likely – the reason for the big jump in the point spread this time when Notre Dame goes on the road to Blacksburg. And for handicapping purposes, a lot of times we throw out or set aside a game, and that's what I'll do with the Old Dominion loss here. You also have to factor in losing Josh Jackson. That's huge. But that Old Dominion game, it was an intrastate game, big brother versus little brother, et cetera. It happens. In Tech's other 3 games, they were solid in all phases. Notre Dame, they're not going to sneak up on Virginia Tech like Old Dominion did. Tech, they're good at home. They've covered 11 of their last 15 home games. The Irish, they were all the rage in 2017 before having their first real road test when they went to Miami. Remember what happened there? They got beat 41-8. This 2018 Notre Dame team, they're better than last year. But, hey, this is not an automatic win.
I totally agree with you. I don't think so either. I think they're going to have to play a good game, much like they're kind of in the same type situation as Kentucky. This is going to be the first time that they've had to go on the road and truly play a good football team.
It is, but the difference is Notre Dame is nearly a touchdown favorite on the road. Mm-hmm. Kentucky is nearly a touchdown underdog, so that's why I brought up in the Kentucky segment, mm-hmm. hey, let's – cool things down before you talk about Kentucky, Georgia. You have to go to College Station, and it's just as big a challenge as this what Notre Dame has.
All right, Mike, give us some final thoughts on this game, and we'll close this segment out and move on to the NFL.
Well, I think we've about covered it all. It's just I'm going to see where the number settles. If it gets to 7, I may have to lean to Virginia Tech here because that Old Dominion game got their ego in check, and even without top players I think they might be able to keep it close, but right now it's a no play with the line being 5.5 to 6.5.
All right. There the word is from Mike Bernard on the Notre Dame-Vermont game. Still can't get over that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and look at NFL right here on Inside the Numbers. GameDaySportsRadio.com.